going to read verse number 1 to verse number 4. We are supposed to have a missionary tonight, Brother Alex Marquez, from the nation of the Dominican Republic. And so we look forward to that. Amen. Psalm 61, beginning verse 1, David said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from mine enemy. I will abide in the tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." Selah. Amen. I want to just simply preach this morning for a few moments a message of exhortation. Run to the rock. Run to the rock. The Lord bless you. May be seated. One of the commentators that I read said that this psalm was born and written by the pen of David during the time that he was exiled from his own capital, from his own home, by his own son. His son Absalom got sin and rebellion into his heart and literally drove his own father off of his throne. And David, not willing to slay his son, not wanting to kill his son, willingly submitted for a time and left Jerusalem so that Solomon could live a little bit longer before the judgment of God came upon him. So David fled. Can you imagine the heartbreak? Can you imagine the heartache? Can you imagine the perplexity? Can you imagine all that was going through the mind and the heart of David right now? The son that he loved has turned on him and overthrown him for a time. And David has seceded for a little while because he didn't want to bring judgment and destruction upon his own child. He didn't want to destroy his own flesh and blood. Can you imagine how badly damaged and battered David is at this moment in time? No wonder his prayer. You know, our prayers are different at different times. Sometimes our prayers, and I understand this, it's just a part of human nature. But our prayers can come a little bit routine sometimes. We just kind of go through the mode because at that moment there's no motive and there's nothing that propels us. But there are other times when we are literally driven to prayer. And it's in those times that we pray like David prayed when he said, "Hear my cry, O God." And he's praying here out of a broken heart and a shattered dream and a life that is adrift. And he's calling out to the Lord, "Please hear my prayer." And he says, "I'm praying from the end of the earth." Now, he wasn't that far away, not really. But it just seems so far. It seemed, have you ever been in a place and you didn't know how in the world you got there and you thought, "Man, what am I doing here?" I'm not talking about geographically. I'm talking about spiritually. Amen. You're talking about mentally. You found yourself in a place and, And it was a dark place, and it was a frightening place, and it was a foreign and a strange place, and something inside of you felt like you were at the very end of the earth, as if you were standing at a precipice and looking down into the abyss, and you felt like just another little puff of wind, and it'll toss me over. That's how David felt. And then he describes it this way. He says, my heart is overwhelmed. It's covered over. It's shrouded by doubts and discouragements and despair. I'm hurt. I'm injured. I'm bleeding. I'm broken. My heart's overwhelmed in me. That's how David's praying in this particular place. And from that kind of a situation, this is what he says. He says, I need you, Lord. And notice the word he uses here. He said, I need you to lead me. Don't tell me to go there. I don't know if I got strength to make it. I need you to lead me. I need you to come down and take me by the hand. And I need you to lead me. I can't make it by myself. But if you'll lead me, just lead me to that rock. To that place that I know that I can plant my feet and they'll be stable. It's not sinking sand. It's not a wave on a tempestuous sea. But I can plant my feet on a solid rock, on a foundation that I know is going to hold me up. He said, lead me to that rock. I'm the king of Israel, but there's a place that's higher than I am. There's a place that's above me. There's a place that supersedes everything I am or will ever be. Take me to that place, that pinnacle, where I can stand and plant my feet and know that I've been lifted up above this place at the end of the earth. That's not the only time David talked about the rock. There's other verses of Scripture that he wrote, other psalms that he wrote. In the one psalm when he had been fleeing from all of the enemies of Saul, and Saul was seeking his life, Psalm 18:2, he said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Verse 31, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Verse 46, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Hallelujah. Psalm 27:5, in the time of trouble, he did hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 40 in verse 2, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Psalm 62 and 2, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. David knew and understood, and he called him that. That was kind of one of his names for God. He said, he's my rock. Hallelujah. He's my foundation. He's my stability. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good in life to know a rock. Sometimes we talk about an individual and say, oh, he's a rock. That means he's somebody you can stand on. I'm not talking about a pebble that gets under your foot and causes you to lose your balance and fall on your face. I've met some pebbles in my life. Anybody ever known a pebble? Hey, we're not talking about a pebble here. We're talking about a boulder. We're talking about a mountain. We're talking about the one that Daniel saw. He said, and I saw the rock that was cut out of the mountain. Amen. And he increased. Hallelujah. Until he compassed the nations. Hallelujah. That's the one I'm talking about. The one that became the Ancient of the Days. That's the rock that we're referring here to today. David said, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Amen. I'm talking about that rock that when they were in a wilderness, 3 million people parched and thirsty and no waterworks. Amen. And there wasn't a place, no water fountains. There wasn't any Fiji. Not even any Sam's purified. Amen. There wasn't any Ozark. Amen. They were thirsty. And then they were about to mutiny. They were getting ready to go back. And God said to Moses, he said, I want you to take your rod. And he said, I want you to go over to this rock. Amen. And I want you to hit that rock. Amen. And when Moses smote the rock, the Bible said waters began to gush out of that rock like a river. Amen. And it flashed down through the place where the people were, and they began to fall down and drink. Hey, I'm not talking about a little stream here. I'm not talking about a little dribble, but I'm talking about a river that can provide water for 3 million people. Amen. I'm telling you, there's a rock that when you're thirsty, your soul can be refreshed. Amen. And you can be strengthened, and you can get back up on your feet. And Paul in Corinthians said, and that rock is Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said Jesus stood at the last day of the feast in John 7, and the people were parched and thirsty. It was a tradition of the priest that they would take some water, have people standing out in the boiling sun, and then pour water on the steps of the temple, and it would flow down, and they would quote the scriptures from Isaiah, talking about with joy shall we draw water from the wells of salvation. Amen. And then that very moment, Jesus stood up to the parched crowd, and he said, if any man thirst, let it come unto me and drink, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Anybody got a river tonight, today? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We have water out of the rock. Hallelujah. I love the verse in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 13. Jesus, the scripture says, speaking of Israel, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, that he might made him to suck honey out of the rock. Honey out of a rock. You ever been to a parched place? Dry. Surrounded by rocks. Amen. And out of rocks came sweetness. Let me just say this today. If you're going to have honey, you're going to have to put up with some bees. A lot of folks want honey and no bees. Don't happen that way. Somebody's got to deal with the bees. Somebody's got to deal with the stings. Amen. Somebody's going to have to suffer a little. You may be getting some honey today that you got from some other place else, but somebody paid for it. Somebody brought it to you. Somebody paid a price. Amen. Amen. God, don't let us forget those that paid a price so that we can have what we have today. Amen. But that some elders somewhere brought this down to us. Amen. And God, help us to preserve it purely, to pass it on to another generation. Amen. Let us not get it polluted in our time. but that we can pass it on freely and purely as we have received it. Amen. But there's honey that you can find. Sweet honey in the rock. Sweet honey in the rock. Oh, it tastes like honey. Amen. That's the sweet stuff. Amen. I'm telling you, there's times that there's nothing that'll refresh you like the honey in the rock. In the hard place. In the hard time. You see, some of the greatest blessings that will mark your mind forever are those that come in the hard place. And when it's so difficult, and you're like David, you feel like you're at the end of the earth, and you feel like your heart's about to be overwhelmed. And you say, lead me to that rock. And in that rock, you find a place of sweetness. Hallelujah. You find a place of sweetness. Hallelujah. Praise God. You find a place that you can pray. And in that prayer meeting, heaven opens up. Hallelujah. And God pours out upon you sweetness like you've never known. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, our rock's not like their rock. Amen. That's what the scripture said. It's that our rock is not as their rock. Our rock has sweetness in it. Praise God. Our rock has water to refresh us when we're thirsty. Amen. And then he talks about oil out of a rock. Amen. Out of the flinty stone. How in the world do you get oil out of a rock? Amen. I think one way God gets oil out of a rock is he causes a little seed to fall in there. And it's a little seed for an olive tree. And then it finds somehow enough earth that it can sprout. And then because the olive tree is a very powerful, strong tree, it begins to make its way downward, seeking more nurture. And it will actually split the rock as it reaches down inside to find enough strength to live. And it goes down a little further, and it gets underneath that. And you see, if you ever go to Israel, you'll notice that in the rocky places, they plant olive trees. And that's where they build their houses. They build houses in the rocky places. Because the fertile ground, there's not enough of it to go around, so that's preserved for crops. Things that are not as strong as an olive tree. But an olive tree has strength and purpose and power, and he can plant it, and it can break through the rock and get down beneath the rock and get down into this fertile soil, and then it becomes mighty and strong, and literally it starts producing oil. It starts producing its olives, and from the olives come the oil. Amen. Thank God for some olive trees. I thank God for some people that went through some difficult places. God planted them in a hard place. Amen. But they didn't give up. They were in a hard place, but they pressed down, and they understood, I got enough root right here, and if I can just press on through this, beneath me somewhere, there's more that I need, and I'll press through this rock here, and I'll get some roots that are going to go deep, and somebody someday is going to need something that I can produce. Somebody's going to need some healing oil. Amen. Somebody's going to need refreshing. Somebody's going to need something. So I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. I'm not going to wait on somebody else. I'm not going to pray for a place that's easier. I'm going to bloom right here. Amen. I like the song. I don't know that I ever heard it but one time, but I liked it. I wish I had the words to it. It's the song said, God, don't give me a lighter burden. Give me a stronger back. God doesn't need people casting off burdens. He needs some folks that have a stronger back. He needs somebody that'll tote the heavy load. He needs somebody that'll press down through the rock and take root and produce oil out of the flinty stone. Hallelujah. Him, that takes some character, and that takes some strength, and you gotta stick with it. Amen. Got to have some backbone. Amen. But those kind of people, hallelujah, they can produce oil out of a rock. Amen. God, give us that kind of constitution. that we don't run. I like the story of the soldier I read in Reader's Digest years ago. Soldier standing there, tension. The general comes by an inspection. He looks down at his sleeve and notice that it's just a frayed little bit on the end. And he looks at that and he said, "Soldier," he said, is your uniform frayed?" And he stares him straight in the eye. He said, "No, sir." He said, "This uniform ain't frayed or nothing." Amen. We need to get some folks got that kind of attitude. Stand right up to the devil. "Hey, you frayed? I ain't frayed nothing. God's with me. And if God be for me, who can be against me?" A rock in the wilderness. Amen. Praise God. He said, "Lead me. Lead me. Lead me to that rock." Amen. Amen. Jesus talked about a rock in chapter 7 of Matthew when he said, "My words." He said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like unto a man that builds his house upon a rock." I want you to notice two things. He said, first of all, our foundation is his words. Amen. Our foundation is his words. The word of God is forever settled. It is established. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. There's one thing that is steadfast and settled. Science changes every day. Men's philosophies and ideas change constantly. Culture changes. Government changes. Laws change. Everything that we live around changes. But there's one thing that's settled and one thing that is sure, and that is the steadfast word of God. Hallelujah. It does not change. So Jesus said, "Hear it," and he said, "Do it." If we'll hear it and do it, our life will be stable. Hallelujah. Amen. Our life will be stable. Praise God. And then in chapter 16, verse number 18 of Matthew, Jesus said to a fellow by the name of Peter. Peter made a profession, didn't he? "Who do men say that I am?" And then finally he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Simon and Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. "And I say also unto thee, that upon this rock." Now, Peter, is it means rock, but it means Petros. It means a little stone of the pebble. Amen. Wouldn't you hate to be called pebbles? A piece of the rock. A piece of the rock. Amen. Peter was just a piece of the rock. Now the Catholic Church teaches that Peter was the rock, but Peter wasn't the rock. Peter was Petros. He was a part of the stone. He said, "Not upon the Petros, but upon the Petra." The Petra was the massive stone. It was the cornerstone. Hallelujah. It's the mountain. He said, "But upon the Petra, upon that rock," he said, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I don't want you to get this up wrong. We need to understand this picture very clearly. The church is not a fortress and hell is assailing the gates, but we're inside the gates and we don't have to worry about hell coming in. We are not in a defensive posture here. What he is saying is that the church can literally storm the gates of hell. We are on an aggressive, offensive posture here. The church is the one going after hell, not hell going after the church. And the gates of hell, the strongest part of hell, cannot resist the church. He said, because I'm going to build it on my name, on my identity, on who I am. And you're going to be able to go very straight through the very gates of hell to rescue the perishing. You know, the church, we need to get out of a defensive posture. Amen. I don't like to give much glory to the devil. I don't like to talk about him much. Amen. I don't like to even hardly acknowledge what's going on. Amen. Because I don't want to give him any glory for him at all. Don't want that even to come into his mind that he thinks I might be giving him a little bit of credit. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says that He has placed all of our enemies under our feet. Amen. So the devil's already under there. Amen. Praise God. That's not to say you won't have some problems in life. You're going to have difficulties. He's going to try to influence some things against you. He'll use some people to thwart you and hurt you and come against you. But I'm telling you today that you already have the victory. You're not going to get the victory. If you'll stand in it, you already have the victory. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just got to stand on the rock. And don't give in. And don't give up. And don't give out. Keep standing on the rock. Just run to the rock. And I love this. I'm closing with Exodus chapter 33, verse 21. Moses had a bad time in his life. He came down the mountain being with the presence of God. And when he got down the mountain, the people had constructed a god of gold. And they were marching and dancing and singing praises to that old stinking god that they'd molded and made with their own hands. Fury rose up in the heart of Moses. Anger, disappointment rose up in the heart of Moses. God was angry too. God was so upset, he said, Moses, if you'll just step aside, son, he said, I'm going to blot out every stinking one. And then using you, we're just going to start all over. Moses said, I'm mad too, God, but I'm not that mad. Amen. Don't do that. Let's not write them all off. He was hurt. He was discouraged. And I love what the Lord said to him. And the Lord said, behold, get this very beautifully. Behold, there is a place by me. Everybody say, a place by me. I'm telling you, it's still there. There's a place by God for you. And you can stand with Him. There is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I will take my hand away, and you'll see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. I've had some times like that, when it seemed like while I was standing with God. You ever have times you just want to get away with God? You just want to find that secret place. You just want to stand by Him. Because you know that He'll stand by you. And you get in that place and it seems like you're standing on the rock. And He just puts you in a secret place. And it feels like His hand just covers you. And in that safe place, and that secure place, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside at that moment in time. everything's all right. Amen. Whatever happens, it's going to be okay. Because I'm in the rock. And this rock's not going anywhere. God just covers you until the storm passes by. Sister Joan Ewing wrote a beautiful song. The words are so beautiful. It said, the storm does not decide how long it will stay. When the master says enough, it just goes away. You're going to have your storms, but the storm doesn't decide how long it's going to stay. One day the master says, that's enough now. And the storm passes away. Amen. Praise God. There is an end to all these things. Amen. And there is a place of safety. Run to the rock. Run to the rock. One of my favorite illustrations, I suppose, and I've used it a number of times, but it says so beautifully what I want to put in a capsule here today. Some parents went next door to see some friends. They left their little girl in the house by herself. They were just next door. They weren't far away. But suddenly, they were startled to hear thunder outside. So they jumped out and they rushed to the door and they looked outside and a little storm had formed and it was raining, slashing rain. It was thundering and shaking and lightning was flashing. Instantly they thought of their little girl, house by herself, and how frightened she would be. So they dashed out into the rain, ran down the sidewalk, and crossed the lawn over to their house. And as they approached the door above the storm, they could hear a little voice, and they were so afraid that she would be terrified. But they heard a little voice, and it was singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. This I know, 'cause the Bible tells me so." And their fear turned into curiosity. When they opened the door, that little girl was standing on top of the coffee table, right on top of the family Bible. And she was singing to the top of her voice. And they said, "Honey, what are you doing up there?" She said, "My Sunday school teacher said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." She said, "I'm a standing on the word of God." Amen. You're going to have some storms. Some are going to be brief. Some are going to be long. But I'll promise you one thing. There's a rock you can run to. And there's a rock you can stand on. That no storm can wash away. It'll be there when the storm's over. Because it will not pass. Let's stand together here today. Run to the rock.
Where did the wind go?
Run to the rock.
Who stopped the rain?
There's some storms going on in Athens, Texas.
Remember.
There's some storms passing
just
through.
Just whispering.
The United Pentecostal Church. There's some storms.